Hallelujah. Lift your hands up to the Lord. Father, we do thank you in the name of Jesus that you have great plans for us. We thank you, Father God, that you have great love for us, that you have great provision for us, that you have gone to great lengths to ensure that we will be well able to do that which you have planned for us to do, given us everything that we need. Now tonight, I thank you that we will be able to discover some things that will help us along the way, that will help us to move forward, help us to receive, help us to be what you created us to be. We thank you that tonight, the Spirit of God moves in our midst in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that you stir in our hearts. Give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying in the church today, in the church tonight, in this hour, in these days that we're living in. We thank you that you're doing a great work, that Father God, your work is not diminishing in the earth, but rather it is increasing. Glory to God. It is increasing. It is increasing, and people are going from faith to faith, and from righteousness to righteousness, and from glory to glory, and from victory to victory. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you that as we listen to the Spirit of God, as we follow your direction, Father, Father God, that as we look into your word, as we endeavor to be doers of the word of God, we shall move forward. We shall be able to take steps in the plan of God. We shall be able to move forward in the plan of God, that your kingdom would be increased in the earth. That, Father God, that the light would dispel the darkness in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that tonight you grant us utterance to speak as you desire. Give us the ability to bring forth that which has been put in my heart, that, Father God, you've been speaking to me, that the people may receive a word in due season. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, shake hands with some more people and then you can be seated. Praise the Lord. We're glad that you are here. Joined us online, and if not able to be here, but you can still be here via the instrument that you are watching from, your device. And so we thank you for being here tonight in via that. And so we thank God for you being here tonight. And so sometimes, you know, how many of you've had, it's been what, 2 weeks now? A little over a week now, isn't it, from camp meeting, isn't it? How many of you have gone through some things since then that's seemed to cause camp meeting to be a distant memory? Anybody been there? I'm just kind of picking up on a few things here. You know, times of refreshing, you know, camp meeting was tremendous. It was a time of refreshing, a renewal, moving forward, you know, taking steps that we'd not taken before, endeavoring to, move forward to become all that God created us to be. And in order to do that, you have to have something happen by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God in order for us to be able to step into some of those things. Isn't that right? And so we came away from camp meeting refreshed and renewed, you know, and I'm reminded of the story. And I'll tell you up front, it's not exactly theologically correct, so don't critique my theology on this particular story. But this lady in her mid to late 40s had a car accident and died and went to heaven. And the Lord met her and told her, said, your work's not done. You're going to have to go back. And so she came back, and before she came back, the Lord told her, said that you'll live and fulfill your work and die in your old age. And so anyway, she came back, and so she came back and lived, you know. And so looking at, it wasn't her fault, the accident. And so, you know, consequently, she got a huge settlement out of the deal, and just amazing amount of money. And so she decided with that money that she was going to get renewed. So she went and got this total makeover, and she got wrinkles removed, and she got nips and tucks, and she got, you know, a personal trainer to coach her on her eating and the weight loss and all of that. And she is just, you know, looking like a totally different person by the time she gets done. And so she's, you know, endeavoring to, in the new, being renewed, she's working, you know, trying to do something for God. And a couple of years went by, and boom, another accident, and she died and went to heaven. And as soon as she saw the Lord, she said, "I want to know what's going on. You promised me I would die in my old age. And so, and here I am. I'm not even 50 yet. And I'm here. What's the deal?" And God looked at her real close. And he said, "Oh," he said, "I didn't recognize you." Anyway, if you don't find that funny, you know, just laugh at my next one. Okay. Just tell yourself it's got to get better than this. All right. How many of you know it's one thing for you to try to renew yourself, and it's another thing for God to move on your life and bring forth that which comes from the Spirit of God? Hallelujah. So tonight I want you to turn in your Bibles to 3 John, you know, my favorite verse, one of my favorite verses. I have many favorite verses, some are more favorite than others, but most, I just like the whole Bible. But some are more favorite than others. This is my favorite book, the Bible. 3 John 2 says this: "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." And so it talks about here, John is wishing Gaius, a person that's known to him, wishing him well on his journey. And actually, that's what the word prosper right there means. It means to do well on your journey. And so he's bidding him to do well on his journey. And he said, "Just as," everybody say, "just as." The King James Version says, "even as." So you can say, "even as your soul prospers." And so evidently, something has to happen on the inside in order for the outside to be able to function correctly. How many of you know that? And so we thank God for that revelation, you know, and we know that we're to renew our mind and we're to, you know, read the Word and get the Word down in us. And that's absolutely essential, isn't it, to our Christian living? Because you see, what it does is all of our effort in that area causes us to have a prosperous soul, to have a prosperous mind, will, and emotions. And many times, how many of you know that it's really not a heart problem when we make a mistake? It's a head problem. It is our emotions tripped us up, or our will, you know, just didn't seem to be, it had disappeared, you know, for the moment. Or sometimes we just don't know what we need to know. And how many of you have read your Bible since you had a mistake happen, or you did something that wasn't according to the direction of God, and you read your Bible again and you thought to yourself, "If I'd have known that, I wouldn't have done that." Do you know what I mean? So the issues are not in our heart, because in our heart we want to do right. We want to follow the Lord. We would, if it's up to our heart totally, with no hindrance, we'd obey the Lord all the time, no problem. We'd never miss him. We'd just, you know, just be amazing, wouldn't it? And so the issue then is to us to have a prosperous soul, and it indicates there that the equation right there is that our prosperity, our health, in other words, how well we do in this journey called life, depends upon how prosperous or the condition of our soul. How good is your mind? How well is your mind renewed? How well are you in control of your emotions? How many of you don't have to answer this, but how many of you have ever lost it emotionally, and things happen that you look back and you just wish you could change that? Well, it's when we lose control of our emotions. And then there's times when our will is not conformed to the will of God, that's a process as well. And we'd like to think we're totally conformed to the will of God. But friend, I'm going to tell you something. We ought to be praying the prayer of consecration on a daily basis, because that is an ongoing work. And how many of you know that you can be more conformed or less conformed depending upon which direction you're progressing? How many of you know that? How many of you met a few people that were... They were conformed to the will of God, moving in the things of God, and today you find them conformed to something else. And we've seen some of that. So we know that's possible, but you know, we pray for them and we let that be a warning to us. Isn't that right? Come on now. We ought to be sharp about that. Isn't that right? And so a prosperous soul affects everything else in our life. It really does. It affects how well we do in this journey called life. How many of you check yourself? How many of you have checked yourself to see if you're alive? You're alive? How many of you raise your hand if you're alive? Okay, good, good, good. That's most of you. We hope not to have too many funerals now. But anyway, Proverbs 4:23 in the Living Bible says this: above all else, guard your affections, for they influence everything else in your life. How many of you know that you can be you can have an affection for something? One preacher said it this way: your affection will determine your direction. It's absolutely true. Where are our affections located for the most part? It typically is on the emotional level, or in our mind. We have desires. We have certain things that we want in our will. And so we need to recognize that our affections will affect everything in our life. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." As another translation says, "As he thinks in his soul, so is he." But I like the Revised Version. It simply says, "For as he reckons himself within him, as he reckons within himself, so is he." In other words, as you see yourself, as you look at yourself and see yourself, that's the way you're going to be. You see yourself an unworthy, undeserving, worm trying to make it across the interstate, you know, before the semi comes along. That's kind of how life tends to treat you. But I want to tell you something. If you see yourself as God has said in his word, when you look in the mirror, you might look in the mirror, you know, and look at that person in the mirror and just say, "Now, you think I ought to warn the world that I'm up? Do you think the rest of the world needs to be warned that a born again, spirit filled, Bible believing, blood bought, you know, Christian is up?" You know, sometimes we have to see ourselves that way and make sure that we do, because you can see yourselves many ways. And so I would like to say this then, that we're all somewhere in the process. Look at your neighbor and say, "I know you're in the process somewhere." We're all in the process somewhere. And we know that some things can take place instantaneously, but some things are a process. And it's good to be in the process when it's a process. Isn't that right? And so we're in the process of developing a prosperous soul, a soul that would be considered, you know, doing well. And so then the question comes to mind: well, how do you know when you have a prosperous soul? See, sometimes we assume things, or we take a guess at something, or we just kind of hope or whatever and don't have a clear picture. What is a prosperous soul? Well, if you look in the very next verse, 3 John 1:3, he tells you what is a prosperous soul. He says here, "For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came," now listen to this, "and testified of the truth that is in you." The truth that is in you. Say that with me. The truth that is in me. So my question to you is this. Do you have the truth in you? To the extent that you have the truth in you is the degree of your soul being prosperous. A prosperous soul is one that has the truth in it. You've put the truth in there. You've read the Word of God. You've listened to the Spirit of God, and you're being a doer of the Word. You know, your mind's not like it was. Your emotions are not like it was. Your will is more conformed to the will of God today than it was before. Isn't that right? And so we need to recognize then that we have the truth in us. It's in our mind, and eventually it works its way down in our heart. Isn't that right? And so we look at that and we say, "Oh, glory to God, I got the truth in me." And so we need to know that the truth is the Word of God. We're not talking about something else. Sometimes recently the Lord dealt with me about, now listen to this, things that are similar to the truth, but they're not the truth. Things that we think are okay, but really not the truth, because it doesn't reflect the Word. And the Lord showed me in my life, you better get some of those things out, because you thought they were okay, and it's not the truth. So it's important that we evaluate things by the Word. If we're going to be Word people, then we ought to be focused on the Word. Isn't that right? And not things that are similar, things that might sound good according to the world's ideas or philosophies. And there's a lot of good things floating around out there. But friend, the best thing that we can have is the written Word of God. Isn't that the truth? And so we need to know that, the truth. We need to know the promises of God. We need to discover what the Word of God has to say about our situations. We need to know what the Bible says about who we are in Christ. Why is that? Because we need to define the real you. You need to keep in mind who you really are. Find out the truth about yourself. I know your mom and dad told you certain things. I can take you to Switzerland, where my ancestors came from back in the 1700s. His name was the guy that was there and came over on the boat was Christian Yoder Sr. And he brought his son, Christian Yoder Jr., And this is on my dad's side, of course. And so Christian Yoder Jr. had a son, Jacob C. Yoder. And Jacob C. Yoder had a son named Christian J. Yoder, you know, because, you know, that's how it went. And then, of course, we had, he had a son named Tobias C. Yoder. And then he had a son named John T. Yoder, named his son John T. Yoder. And then from there it went to Joseph J. Yoder and Ezra J. Yoder and Benedict E. Yoder and finally Marvin B. Yoder. And that's what my parents said. That's who my parents said I am. And then I found out the truth. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Isn't that right? How many of you know it's good to know the truth about yourself? I'm blood washed. I'm blood washed. I said, I'm blood washed. How about you? Aren't you blood washed? Thank God for the blood. Got to know the truth about yourself. And you got to know the truth about what God has planned for you. Lots of great ideas, career plans out there. They got experts out there that'll help you map out a career plan. But I want to tell you something. Before the foundations of the world, there was the greatest career expert that's ever existed has mapped out a plan for you. You got to know the truth about yourself. You got to load up. You gotta take the divine word of God and upload it into your mind. You gotta saturate your mind with it. Listen to me. I don't care if your mind, the first time that you read something in the word of God and it comes back and your mind says bad command. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. Sometimes, you know, on computers, it's a computer problem. It's a program problem. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. The way that you overcome the error or the bad command is you keep putting the right thing in. You keep putting the right thing in, and it finally overcomes that which didn't want to receive it, but it'll take it. Amen. You got to get it down in you. You got to stay with it. Sometimes it doesn't look like it's working. But I want to tell you something. You keep putting it in there. Keep putting it in there, and eventually it's going to work. Eventually you're going to look around and say, hey, I did it. It's like trying to ride a bicycle. How many of you tried to ride a bicycle? How many of you went through the stage where you wondered if you'd ever ride that thing? But the truth of the matter is, one day you just took off like you'd been doing it for a long time. Isn't that cool? I know in every crowd there's always one or so that took off and rode your bicycle for the very first time, never fell down. There's always somebody in the crowd, but most people aren't like that. And so most of us, you know, we had trial and error, didn't we? Amen. And so now I want to give you what I call certain factors that I believe that can help your soul to prosper faster than ever. How many of you know there's certain things we can put in our life that can just put us on the fast track? I don't know about you, but I never liked the slow track. I grew up, driving a horse and buggy. We didn't have a car. And we had one speed on that horse. It was slow. No matter how fast he was going, it was still slow. And so I lived that way for almost 20 years. And I just tell you the truth about it. I'm not real keen on being on the slow track. And why is that? Because I read the plan. I said I read the plan. And there's time for us to get with it. And I believe God has given us some things. And I'm going to give you five things that will help us be on the fast track to a prosperous soul of getting the truth in us and acting on the truth and causing our journey to go better than ever. And as we subject our soul to these things, it will begin to function better. You know, it'll become, as you would say in the computer world, be virus free. How many of you, you're going to laugh when you hear what some of these are. But first, the very first one, I'm running the risk of losing some of you on the very first one. But I want you to hang in there. And the first one is this: you got to maintain the right diet. I know some of I'm overwhelmed with the amens right there. But you know what I'm talking about is not the meal you had at lunch today. so much as I am what you read and what you watched and what you listened to. Because all of that comes inside of you. You intake something from what you read, what you watch, what you listen. That's what you actually are feeding yourself. And that becomes your diet. Nobody likes to change their diet. People like what they like. Isn't that right? How many of you have ever been to the doctor and the doctor said, not this, this, and this, and this? And how many of you felt like that's a bad moment? Because you're losing your favorite foods. It's always your favorite foods. He never tells you to stop doing the things you don't like. He's never told me not to do Brussels sprouts. I don't particularly hate Brussels sprouts, but it's certainly not on my top 10. Do you know what I'm saying? It's okay. It's always the stuff that, you know, well, you know. Anyway, but a diet, what does that do? It helps renew our soul. And at the same time, here's what else it does. Because you're having truth come into your mind, it eventually drops down into your heart and it increases your faith. It increases your capacity to believe God. And where you doubted before, you're now able to believe. Where you had fear before, you are now bold in faith. Isn't that true? So the right diet. Number two, the right people need to be around you. Like I said, we need to be virus free. Some of you got that. You know, you can be willing to, how many of you are willing to help anybody that needs it if you can do it? And that's a good thing. We see that modeled by the Lord Jesus. But something else we see modeled by the Lord Jesus is this, that he didn't hang around everybody. He helped everybody that requested it or needed it, that, you know, that he came in contact with, but he didn't hang around everybody. Do you know what I'm saying? Now, let's say this about the disciples, the 12 disciples. They didn't get everything right. Peter opened his mouth a lot, and James and John wanted to burn cities down, and, you know, and Judas Iscariot was no shining knight, and, you know, all of that, you know. And Thomas, you know, had trouble believing. It just really wasn't that great a group. But listen to me, except for Judas, you know, we're not talking about Judas now, but the rest of them, they had a heart for Jesus. They had a heart for Jesus. Even they made mistakes. That sound familiar? How many of you got a heart for Jesus? But in the midst of your mistakes, you wonder, what happened? It's up here. It's our mind. It's our will. It's our emotions that get in the way sometimes. And we can, and based on, that's why we have high points and low points in our Christian walk. You know, it's amazing when it all comes together and flows together, and you want to live in the moment of that. But there are times when we just haven't got it right. I know we're supposed to be faith people, and you say, "Well, where's the word of faith in all of this?" You keep on believing. You keep on feeding on the word. That's the message of faith right there. You just don't give up. Isn't that right? Because you believe the word of God keeps working in your life. Isn't that right? So you got to have the right people around you to give you love, care, strength, and encouragement. Got to have people around you that believe in you. Got to have people around you that support God's plan for your life. Sometimes you have to move people from the inner circle to the outer circle. How many of you found that out? Why is that? Because especially when they don't support God's plan for your life. Doesn't necessarily mean they're bad people. Just simply means that you got to keep a tight circle of people around you that support the direction you're going and the plan that God has for your life. And that doesn't mean that those people are all yes people. Those are sometimes some of the best people to have in your inner circle are people that challenge you. They're supportive of you, but they don't just always say yes, and they don't always tell you that you did a great job when you didn't. You know what I'm saying? And those people are valuable. So the right people. Number three, the right environment. The right environment. How many of you know that atmosphere is important? And I'll give you an example. The surroundings that we're in affect us. You look at the surroundings in this church, and it is amazing. The campus, the atmosphere on this campus, the environment on this campus is a possibility environment. All things are possible. There's an atmosphere of faith on this campus. Now, I've traveled many, many churches around the world. I've had the privilege of doing that before I ever worked at Rhema. Even the first time we were in full-time traveling ministry, and I can tell you all kinds of churches had various atmospheres in them. How many of you ever walked into a place and there was an atmosphere there and you said, I got to get out of here? Anybody ever been there? How many of you ever walked into a place and the atmosphere was so wonderful you thought, I could spend the rest of my life right here? Atmosphere, environment, your surroundings, the setting you're in is tremendously important in helping you to believe and helping you to move forward. And then number four, the right words about yourself are important. You got to learn to speak the right words about yourself. You got to say what the word says about yourself. You can't just beat yourself up because you made a mistake. You see, there is a difference between repentance and beating yourself up. There's a difference between, help me, Brother Bill. There's a difference between repentance and doing penance. It's absolutely the truth. Two different things. One is a divine operation that happens on the inside that where God helps you to change direction. That's repentance. Doing penance is something that you decide to do. It's an effort to try to please God in a way that you come up with or the way that somebody else told you to do. And you need to realize, listen to me, you need to hear the right words about yourself. That's why you need to speak the word over your life. You need to tell yourself who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what you can do in Christ. And it's important to do that as quickly as possible after you get up. Why? Because you gotta speak the word over your life before the world shares their opinion about you. Because how many of you found out the world is not shy about letting you know what they think? Isn't that right? So we have all these things. I found this out that the words I speak can be building blocks in my life. I can build myself up one word at a time because it affects my mind. It affects my will. It affects my emotions. It affects my faith. Okay? So I keep building. I keep speaking the word. I keep speaking the word. I keep speaking the word. But now, here's the fifth one. How many of you, let me ask you this. How many of you have ever been at a point in your life and you say, none of those four things are a great revelation to me? I've been doing that. I've been doing all four of those things. And I have to tell you, Brother Yoder, that something, I need something else because we're just stuck in life. Come on now, all of you are looking straight ahead at me like, not me. But you know, people get there. I've been there. Doing all the right things that we know and yet nothing's moving. Anybody ever been there? And so you need a fifth thing. Everybody say a fifth thing. You need the power and the glory of the Holy Spirit to move upon your life. You need the revelation. You need the breakthrough. You need the change that happens by the Spirit of God as who lives on the inside of you. Yes, you do those things that I just talked about, but don't neglect this fifth thing. Listen to me, if all I tell you to do is these first four things, then you might as well go to a self-help seminar. But you got to understand there's more to it than that. You see, a prosperous soul is where God works in a person who's submitted to the Word and the Spirit. It allows the Holy Spirit. I like to say it this way. The first four things that I listed allows the fifth one to work mightily in my life. And so I want the power and the Spirit of power of the Spirit. I need the change that the Spirit of God can bring. He can go inside of us and write the Word of God. He can change things in my mind. He can help my emotion. He can reach down into the deepest part of me and help me with my will and my emotions and the most deep-seated affections that I have. And He can change all of that. He can change all of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. I finally come to the part that I really want to talk about tonight. Because I sense that there are many, you're a great, great congregation. And for the most part, you are all doing what you know to do. Everybody's doing what they know to do. None of the stuff is, if I tell you to read the Word, that's not a great revelation. Doing that, brother. You know? But let me tell you something. Sometimes you just need to lift your head a little bit and understand I'm supposed to do these things, but there is something else that's happening while I'm doing the other four things that I've talked about. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and I'm choosing to read it in the Amplified Version, and it says this, "And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly," listen to this, "constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Do you understand that the Spirit of God is doing in our life what we cannot do? In a moment when you got saved, He gave you a new heart. In a moment when you needed forgiveness, it worked in your life. You were cleansed from all unrighteousness. The slate wiped clean. He does it in a moment, faster than you can blink your eye. It's amazing. He can reach in and heal your heart of sorrow and grief. He can take the mourning away and turn your life into dancing and joy. He can give you comfort in troubling times. He can reach down inside and take the fear and put in peace. We need to not neglect the Holy Spirit who wants to do great things in us. Sometimes I think we're too busy just doing what we know to do, and we ought to be doing that. I'm not negating that, not minimizing that. We ought to be doing that, glory to God. But we also understand what else is happening. What else is happening? Spirit of God's working. It doesn't matter whether you feel it or don't feel it, whether you see it or don't see it, whether you sense something or not, whether you have goosebumps or not. The Bible says the Spirit of God, as we keep beholding the Word of God, let me tell you something, the Spirit of God is working in your life. He's doing it right now, right where you are. Did you know you're a different person than when you came tonight? You have been transformed into a greater degree of the splendor of God and the glory of God just by being in worship tonight and listening to the Word. Why is that? Because you've given space or you've given room for the Holy Spirit to work in your life. I want to read this out of the Ben Campbell Johnson paraphrase. I want you to fasten your seat belts. Here's what he says. With the veil lifted from our eyes, we see the ultimate purpose of God reflected in Christ. And as we keep this vision before us, we are continually transformed by it. We are moved from one area of fulfillment to another as the Spirit acts upon us. I'm going to read that again. Because I looked at that, I thought, that can't be true. Is that really true? My goodness, this is amazing. You mean to tell me? And I started reading again. With a veil lifted from our eyes, we see the ultimate purpose of God reflected in Christ. And how many of you know we find that in His Word? And as we keep this vision, how many of you know that's the Word? Before us, we are continually transformed. Now listen to this, transformed by it. We move from one area of fulfillment to another as the Spirit acts upon us. I said, now, Lord, you're trying to tell me something here. What is it you're trying to tell me? And I heard the whisper of the Spirit of God. He said the book of Acts is a record of how the Spirit of God acted time after time after time upon the disciples and upon the people in the church, taking them from one area of fulfillment of the promises of God to another. And I want to tell you something. Listen to me. You find out in Acts chapter 1, you find the fulfillment. The Spirit of God moved in the fulfillment of the ascension of Christ and the commissioning of the disciples. In Acts chapter 2, you find the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon all flesh and in different nations and so forth. You find that the Spirit of God moved and began to act in that way. In Acts chapter 3, we find that the Spirit of God moved to fulfill the promise of healing in a lame man at the gate called Beautiful. We find in Acts chapter 4 that the Spirit of God moved to fulfill the apostolic ministry in the early church through the disciples and protecting them and giving them great boldness and healing. And as they preached the resurrection of Christ, great amounts of people came to the Lord. Acts chapter 5, we see the Spirit of God moving to fulfill church discipline, not allowing the lies of the devil to infiltrate the church. We see in Acts chapter 6 where the Spirit of God moved to fulfill church administration to take care of the needs of people. We find in Acts chapter 7 where the Spirit of God moved to raise up a man called Stephen, and he would preach the truth, and as they took him out to stone him, he protected him and raised him up and took him up into glory. Acts chapter 8, we find that God fulfilled the promise of revival down in Samaria with miracles and signs and wonders following, and how that God caught a man named Philip away by the Spirit into a desert preached to an Ethiopian eunuch and brought him to Christ and got translated off into another area. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. The Spirit of God will take the church from one area of fulfillment to another. Acts chapter 9, we see how that God, the Spirit of God, fulfilled the promise of salvation to a man named Saul. And he became converted, and he changed from being the worst enemy of the church to the greatest propagator of the church. We see in Acts chapter 10 where the promise of salvation was brought to the Gentiles against the wishes of a prejudiced church. Acts chapter 11, we move on and it starts exploding. Apostolic ministry, prophetic ministry, pastoral ministry, teaching of the word, the moving of the Spirit. We see a man named Paul, Peter, James, and John. We see them scattered, the disciples scattered. Persecution came and they went everywhere. And the rest of the book of Acts is just a flame, one flame after another. of the Spirit of God acting upon the people in the church as they believed God, as they came together and worshiped God, as they came and feasted upon the Word of God, the Spirit of God moved upon them and brought them the promises of God, manifested them in their life. I want to tell you something. We better lift our head. We better look up with our eyes, our spiritual eyes, and begin to see that there is a moving of the Spirit. There is things happening in an unseen realm that you've not. We may not have been aware of like we ought to have. There's some things happening, my friend, in the realm of the Spirit. I believe this with all my heart. I am not with the doom and gloom people. I am not one of those naysayers that says, woe to the way the church is. Let me tell you something. There may be some problems in the church. There may be some faults, and there may be some spots, and there may be some blemishes. But I'm going to tell you something. That's nothing compared to the glory that's happening in the church today. That's nothing compared to the outpouring of the Spirit. That's nothing compared to the mistakes that you said. Somebody said, well, you know, the church is full of hypocrites. I always just tell them, then you need to come and bring your perfection to it, because otherwise you're robbing us. Come on now. Come on down. Listen to me. Every person is endeavoring to live in the way that they need to, in the best that they know how. But my friend, sometimes we're just in the middle of the process. We don't always get it right, but we know what to do. We come to God once more, and God by His Spirit brings forth what He has for us. He reaches down a hand when we don't deserve it, and He picks us up again, and He says, try again. Go back to my word. Look at it again, because hey, there's a thing that God wants to do in your life. It's too late. It's too early for us to be able to just give up and to just go off to the wayside. Listen to me. The Spirit of God wants to do something in your life. He whispered it to your heart time and time again, and stuff has happened. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. The hour's coming, and the time is now, where the Spirit of God wants to raise up the things and do the thing. He wants to take you from one area of fulfillment to another, glory to God. He wants to act upon you. You may be here tonight like I was many years ago, second year Rhema student. Everything looked good on the outside, but my second year, we had a baby that born between our first and second year. The baby had problems. Had to get some specialists in, you know, and take care of all that. And I'm doing the job that God wants me to do. Told God I wanted to get a second job. I'm going to go get a second job. And He said, go do volunteer work in the church. How many of you know that makes a lot of sense when you need more money? Not only that, but in the middle of my second year, I developed a physical condition that was life-threatening. At one point, they said I had 24 hours to live. They said, if you don't get help right now, you're not going to live for... we can't guarantee that you're going to live another 24 hours. And I had no money. No money. It got so bad. We were doing everything we needed to do. I'm in the Word. I'm hanging around the right people. I'm trying to be in the right environment. I'm in church, and I'm in class every day. I don't miss. I'm budgeting my finances. I'm doing it carefully. I'm doing what God told me. I'm doing everything that I know to do. I'm speaking the word over myself. So one night, I'm in a prayer meeting, and the prayer leader said, I see a man. You've got the pockets of your pants pulled out, and there's a hole in one of them. And you said, oh, well, doesn't matter. I don't have anything to put in it anyway. And she said, that leader said, you need to change your attitude, because God's fixing. I mean, if you know what that means, He's getting ready to. He's putting things in place too. He says, get ready to fill it. And you need to change your attitude about that. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. I know what repentance is. Let me tell you something. You can change your attitude. I don't care how long you had it. You can change it fast. You can. I changed my attitude so fast, and I said, man, I'm doing all the right things. But you know, when you get beat down so much, bam, 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 one thing after another, if you're not careful, you're just going through the motions. Now, I want to tell you something. Listen to me. I changed my attitude. What did that mean? I began to expect. I didn't understand how. I didn't know where. And I didn't know when. But I began to expect the Spirit of God to move in my life, to do what I couldn't do. I continued to do what I knew to do. But I'm going to tell you something. I expected the Spirit of God to move in my life. And as I'm telling you, I kept going to work. I didn't just sit on the couch. And one night I'm walking, driving home from church, from work, 10 o'clock at night, and the Spirit of God speaks to me. He said, tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, he said, I'll share. You get up. He said, I'll tell you, I'll share with you how to get out of your financial dilemma. Because by then, the phone calls are coming. We need your money. Didn't have money to pay the Rhema monthly payments, you know, for tuition. Looked like I wasn't going to finish the year. Well, I was up at 5:45 in the morning. I was dressed nice. I'm going to have a meeting with the King of Kings. I had my cup of coffee. I had my Bible, and I had my pen, and I had my paper. I'm going to write it down. This is important. This is a life and death thing. This is a make it or break it thing. And he shared with me. A number of things to do. Some were supernatural, some were natural. Some were things I did, some were things that I went and worked with people to do it. Every one of those things got done except for one, and that was because some people just wanted their money. They didn't care what they, no matter what happened, they want their money right now. And I gritted my teeth and said, bless God, I believe you'll have your money by the end of the month. I didn't know how. I had no money. But I got them paid off by the end of the month. I don't know how I did. I still don't know. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. I began to put those things in motion. Listen to me. Spirit of God will give you a strategy. He'll give you something. He'll give you a way where there is no way. Because you see, he's taking you from one area of fulfillment to another. He's taking me from one area of fulfillment to another. All of a sudden, the associate pastor at the church where we were going came up and said, somebody, can't tell you who, brought $300 over to the church office, said, if you can pick it up tomorrow. I said, I can do that. I'm vacuuming the floor in the store where I work, and I find an earring. I turned it in. My boss held on to it. 2 weeks went by. One day he came out and said, Marvin, he said, I don't know. He said, it's yours. He said, nobody wants it. I took it over to the silver and gold place. It was, turned out to be 18 karat gold with a big sapphire in it. And you guessed, I sold it. Money. All of a sudden, things start happening. Rhema called and said, somebody paid your tuition. Can you come get your badge punched? Of course I can. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. When it looks like it's all over, God's just beginning. When it looks like it's all over, God's just beginning. Let me tell you something. When there's no more moves, there's still one move. When the doors slam shut and it looks like that's the way you're going to be, let me tell you something. There's someone that knows how to open the door. Stand up with me. Say it with me. I can keep moving with God's plan for me, not just once a year, but every day. Every day. I can have a prosperous soul. I can move into all God has for me. Lift your hands up and say, Lord Jesus, I let the Spirit of God move in my life. I've done everything I know to do, and I'm still believing, because I know the last move is your move. And I thank you, Father, that you're moving mightily. You know where I need fulfillment. You know where I need something happening. You know where the promise of God needs to come into my life. And I thank you that right now, by the Spirit of God, you're moving. I'm coming into fulfillment of the promises of God. By the Spirit of God, I'm looking into the Word of God, and He's changing me on the inside. He's changing things around me. He's going before me. He's watching my backside, and He's going before me. He's opening a way that no man can shut. He's closing some doors that the enemy can never open again. Hallelujah. Just worship Him. Thank God. Magnify the name of the Lord. Spirit of God, move in the lives of these people. Help them in a mighty way. Help them in a mighty way. Help them like only you can. Spirit of God, go in the midst of these people. Touch their hearts. Touch their minds, their will, their emotions. Help them to yield to the plan of God. Help them to submit. Help them to take the next step. Help them to do well in their journey called life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has changed me. He has changed me. Even tonight, He has changed me. Can you say it with me? He has changed me. I'm different than when I came. He has changed me. Hallelujah. He's working on the inside. And what's going to happen? It's going to show up on the outside. Hallelujah. How'd that old song go? I'm working on the inside. I don't know how it went, but oh, what a change in me. Oh, hallelujah. Spirit of God's doing it. I said He's doing it right now. Somebody ought to shout glory. He's doing it right now. He's making a change in me. Hallelujah. Tell you, say it with me. I'm not the same. I said, I'm not the same. I said, I'm not the same. Hallelujah. 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 We worship you, Lord. Magnify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody watching online, I just sense this right now. Don't you give up. Don't you give up right now. God's working in your life. I know you did everything you knew to do, and you didn't do it perfectly. But I want to tell you something. God's still working in your life. God wants to take you by the hand. Will you lift your eyes? Will you look to Him? Will you accept His help? Will you allow the Spirit of God to move in your life? Will you let Him have His way? Go ahead. Believe once more. I believe you'll find out that He will change you. He'll change your circumstances. You won't ever be the same again. I believe someday you'll be able to look back and say, I remember that moment. It was decision time. And the Spirit of God came into my life. And He moved and helped me. Hallelujah. 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 He did it once. He'll do it again. I said He did it once. He'll do it again. If He did it once, He'll do it again, because He takes us from one area of fulfillment to another. Even as the Spirit acts upon us. I'm moving. I'm moving from glory to glory. I'm moving from righteousness to righteousness. I'm moving from faith to faith. I'm moving from victory to victory. I'm moving from provision to provision, from healing to healing. I'm moving from safety to safety, from protection to protection. I'm moving as the Spirit of God acts upon me. I know you are too. You're with me. I know we're in this together. We're the body of Christ. We have the Spirit of God. We have the Word of God. We've got the name of Jesus. We've got the angels around us. We've got the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. We got what we need. Hallelujah. 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 I think I did it again. I just preached myself happy. Hallelujah. I just preached myself happy. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to laugh. The devil thought he had you. The devil thought he had you all locked up. But the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God. I said, but the Spirit of God. He moved again. Glory. He moved again. And again. And again. I'm going to tell you something. I took you from Acts chapter 1 to chapter 28. But I want to tell you something. Chapter 29 is being written by the saints of God in this generation. We are being taken from one area of fulfillment. Miracles are happening. Healings are happening. Provision is coming. Hallelujah. Freedom is coming. Hallelujah. Somebody, I don't know where it's at. I can pinpoint area of where you're at. I don't know who it is, but I know this by the Spirit of God. Listen to this. He said, I'm directing your steps. Didn't seem like it, but I'm directing your steps. I'm directing your steps. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't get off into Wonderland. Just realize He's directing your steps. Just hear that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, well, where are you headed? Where am I headed? One area of fulfillment after another. One area of fulfillment after another. Hallelujah. I'm on my way. I'm moving forward. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands one more time to the Lord. Thank Him. Magnify His name. Thank you, Father. You're doing a good work, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can do what no man can do. We submit ourselves afresh and anew to you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Lord, help us to be ever mindful of what you're doing in our lives. Help us not to give up. Help us to move forward. Help us to believe. Help us as we look into your word. Show us the revelation we need. Give us the understanding that we need. Give us the knowledge that we need so that we may understand the plan you have for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're faithful to your word. You're the revealer of your word. You're the God who performs your word. You're the one that's faithful to your promise. We thank you that's happening in our lives now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 How many of you know you're not the same as when you came? Hallelujah. Gonna go away a different person. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you don't go to a church where you can leave like you came? But you can go away a different way. Isn't that right? I'm not the same. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know what? Wake up tomorrow. Get up when it's time. Why? Because you got to see what God's going to do next. Let me tell you something. It's a discovery. You got your own discovery channel. Let me tell you something where you can see what God's doing every day. Every day is a segment. Every day is an area of fulfillment. Every day. Glory to glory. Every day is promise being fulfilled. Hallelujah. Amen. If you need prayer for something, these wonderful people right here, the ladies over here and the men over here, listen to me. If you're a man, you go over here to these men. If you're a lady, go over here to these ladies. They'll help you believe God and to agree together that you can move forward into an area of fulfillment as the Spirit of God acts upon you. Glory to God. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Well, we know Wednesday night, Hour of Power. And so we know that that's going to be a good thing, too. So you don't want to miss out on that. And first-time guests, you're here tonight. The Connection team members are coming to take you to a place to give you a gift out in the West Lobby, out in this lobby right over here. And so if you want to go with them right now, we'll let you take off first and be able to go get that as our way of saying thank you. Let's give them a great big hand as they go. We're thankful that they were here tonight. Hallelujah. We pray and believe that you have a good week. Every day is a day when the Spirit of God wants to work in your life. Amen. How many of you believe He is? Amen. Shake hands with somebody and you're dismissed.